Moving on to a story that's just unfolding in Iran today. State TV reports that 168 people are dead in a tragic plane crash in the northwest. The Caspian plane commercial jet made a deep gouge in the dirt field where it crashed. It essentially crumbled on impact with much of the wreckage in small pieces. This is the fourth in a series of major airline stories in the past 6 weeks, from the crash of Air France and Yemenia Airways planes a few weeks ago to yesterday when on a Southwest flight a hole opened up in the passenger cabin in mid-flight. Now, that plane made a safe emergency landing in West Virginia. So what's happening here? Are planes getting unsafer, or is this just a coincidence? First, we're going to go to more of the story from the crash in Iran. We've got Borzu Daragahi, Beirut bureau chief for the LA Times. So can you tell us the latest about this story, including, you know, what kind of people were on the plane and where it was headed?
Well, it was a plane headed from Tehran to the Armenian capital, Yerevan. It crashed just minutes before noon, about 16 minutes after taking off in a rural part of Iran, of Iran's Qazvin province, just northwest of the capital. According to officials, there is nobody who survived this plane. Among those who were killed were 10 members of the Iranian junior judo squad, including two coaches, and eight players traveling to Yerevan for a summer training camp. Iran and Armenia have very good ties. Iran has a significant Armenian minority that has stronger and stronger ties to Armenia and to the capital there. So there's some travel there. So probably there were a lot of people there who are ethnic Armenian.
You mentioned the ties between Armenia and Iran, and obviously we know that Iran has had quite a fractious relationship with the United States. Is there a possibility that the politics of sanctions played into this?
Well, that's what Iranian officials and some ordinary people, even who are not supporters of the government, have been saying for years, that the U.S. sanctions on the sales of aircraft and aircraft parts to Iran have been hurting ordinary civilians, making it impossible for them to travel as safely as possible. This airline, Caspian Airlines, uses mostly Tupolev, Russian-made Tupolev planes, which many Iranians, I'm not sure about experts, but many ordinary Iranians believe are unsafe and not up to the quality standards of the Western airplanes. But, you know, maybe we shouldn't be so haughty with two Airbuses crashing into the sea in the last month or so.
Well, you, as the Beirut bureau chief for the LA Times, must have taken probably some dodgy flights different places. Were you ever on one of these planes?
Yeah, I've been on Caspian Airlines, I've been on Kish Airlines, I've been on Asiman Airlines, all of the minor Iranian airlines. And, you know, typically what happens is you need a flight at the last minute. You want to fly Iran Air or Emirates Airlines to Dubai or something, and they're full up. And so you end up just crossing your heart and taking one of the what would many people consider lesser airlines because of the airplanes they use and the lack of scrutiny that they're under.
Well, Borzu Daragahi, thank you so much. Borzu Daragahi, Beirut bureau chief for the LA Times. We also have with us Graham Warwick, senior technology editor of Aviation Week. Graham, can you tell us a little bit about the kind of plane that was involved in this fatal crash?
It was a relatively young airplane. It was delivered in 1987, and it was a Tupolev, we think, a Tupolev Tu-154. Which is a sort of a Russian equivalent of the Boeing 727. It's a little bit more sort of modern than that, but obviously the 727 has pretty much disappeared from our skies. But it's still the 124 is still pretty common in the former CIS and other parts of the world, in China and things like that.
When you think about the spate of different airline incidents, including, you know, the one here in the U.S., the Southwest flight that developed a hole, something that I'm assuming was, you know, metal fatigue or something that certainly just didn't happen in 1 second. What's the state of play with airline safety? Has it changed over the past few years?
It's kind of tempting to sort of look at these this spate of accidents and sort of and conclude that airline safety is deteriorating. The truth actually is that if you look at it over a period of years, it is improving, and it has been steadily improving, but there are spikes, and that appears to be in part not due to just simply probability. They sort of, you know, they don't happen at an evenly spaced apart. You do get these trend upward trends every now and then. There was one in 2005. We were doing quite well, and then there was a big spike in 2005, and then after 2005. The rate sort of went back to the historic improvement. And the other thing is, when you look at the accidents that we're talking about, the incidents we're talking about, when you actually sort of look at them, they're very different. So you can't actually group them and say there's one thing we can fix and these would all go away.
So, and very quickly, don't panic, question mark?
I think it's don't panic. You know, modern equipment, well-capitalized airlines, well-trained aircrew should be safe. The two that we talk about, Yemenia and Iran, are both in parts of the world where the accident rate is higher than the rest of the world. But in the West, it's still pretty safe.
All right. Thanks much, Graham Warwick, Senior Technology Editor of Aviation Week. And coming up, we are going to speak with the president of the NAACP, which is 100 years old.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.